Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Luke's English podcast is supported by kind donations from generous listeners and also the premium subscription, which gives you access to a growing library of lessons from me, specifically about vocabulary, grammar and pronunciation. Each series contains pronunciation drills where you can listen and repeat specific phrases after me. To get more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk/premium info. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to my podcast for learners of English. How are you doing today? You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, Luke. Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. Yeah.
That's you responding. I don't know why you're talking like that.
Yeah, I'm fine, yeah.
I don't know why that's... Why are you speaking like that?
I don't know, just because I'm fine. Yeah, it's fine. I'm good. Let's get started.
Okay, so I won't talk at great length at the start here. Suffice to say that as the title of this episode suggests, both Amber and Paul are on the podcast again after a one-year absence. Yes, the tangential trio are at it again. I've been wondering what on earth I should call this episode. As you'll hear, the options I had for a snappy title for this one were a bit tricky because our conversation covers some pretty diverse topics, including some quite dark themes, some potentially controversial moments, and the usual fun, rambling nonsense. It's hard to sum it up in one pithy, clickbait title. I think I'm just calling it Amber and Paul are on the podcast. But that does seem like a bit of a cop-out. Anyway, we will see what I ultimately choose as a name for this episode. Here's a quick hint of the diverse topics which we explore. The first thing, organ harvesting. Yes, that's right, organ harvesting. To get this, to understand this, you'll need to have listened to the previous episode of this podcast. That's episode 718, which was a conversation with Michael the Hitchhiking Shaman from Poland. In that episode, Michael explained how, when hitchhiking once, he almost got kidnapped by several people who he suspected were organ harvesters, people involved in the illegal trade of human internal organs. Amber heard that podcast. Amber heard the conversation with Michael, and she was skeptical about Michael's story. And this prompted nearly 30 minutes of conversation about the ins and outs of organ harvesting, including how, why, where, and who would do this. Then we go on to do various random questions and challenges from my list of random questions and challenges. So you will get more accent fun, a thrilling discussion of Amber's favourite fruit and vegetables, a story about Amber's son Hugo and his surprising articulacy in English, a joke about Spanish firemen, some British citizenship questions about Easter holidays, British overseas territories, and why Great Britain is actually called Great Britain, and plenty more besides. So other than organ harvesting, there isn't just one theme for this episode, hence the rather generic title. But it's a thrill ride of an episode which has everything you could expect from a conversation with Amber and Paul. I hope you enjoy it. Nothing more needs to be said except that you are about to hear a rapid conversation between friends, and it might be difficult to follow. So strap in, hold on tight, and let the tangential chat commence.
Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on another podcast. Paul's a very funny boy. His laugh I very much enjoy. Amber's got a lovely voice. If I could choose an accent, hers will be my choice. Yeah.
Oh, hitchhiking.
Yeah, what was that about, by the way?
Wait a minute. So, Amber, what?
I said, don't get your organs harvested.
Organ harvesting.
Yeah.
And Paul said, what's that about?
No, so, but you sent me, I'm very hungover today. Mm-hmm. And so I basically kind of went to sleep when you sent your first text this morning.
That's when you went to bed.
Kind of, yeah.
No.
I sent my first text at about 6:30 this morning, I think.
No, at 6:30?
Yeah,
I got home about 4, and I think I went to bed at 4:30, and then I just woke up randomly when you texted, and I was like, I'm not replying. And
How come?
Every Monday night, it's the same thing. Like,
oh, yeah, of course, Monday.
Happy Hour Live, and then they leave, and then I stay to edit, and then I get sucked into the YouTube thing because I'm a bit drunk, and I just get more drunk, and it's horrific.
And you just stay up all night, just sort of...
Yeah, pretty much.
...working and...
Yeah, half working, half watching YouTube, and half getting more drunk than I should. And so anyway, I read the thread of messages... About
the three of us had been sending each other.
Yeah, or that you two had been sending each other and I was sleeping. Yeah. but I woke up to some Polish thing about organ harvesting.
Do you want to explain, Amber?
I was listening to Luke's podcast.
Oh, so it is actually your podcast?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was another... Because every time... I said that this just before you showed up downstairs. I was like, every time I see Amber, she's like, there's a podcast you have to listen to. And I'm like,
it's called Luke's English Podcast.
And I'm like, yeah, yeah, I'll listen to it. And I never do because I just never find it.
Yeah, Amber's
time.
Always doing that to me. She's always trying to get me to listen to podcasts. And
she's like podcast shaming us, being like, why aren't you listening to these podcasts? So I thought it was a podcast that you found about some Polish organ harvesting.
No, I mean, I do listen to a lot of podcasts. I just want to share the love, which is why I recommend them to you. Don't feel obliged. You don't need to listen to them. Just saying, they're out there. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I walk the walk, I talk the talk. But no, this was Luke's podcast and it came out yesterday evening. Yesterday. And so I was like giving it a listen to sort of like to catch up with what Luke's doing from time to time and give a listen.
Instead of calling him, you just listen to him.
Just listen.
Passively.
Yeah, just tune in. Just log on to the RSS feed rather than actually speaking to me. So, the conversation that Amber listened to was from episode 718, which is a conversation with Michael the Shaman. He was a runner-up in the recent competition I did.
Okay.
Which is basically, you know, people send in some recordings and other people vote on them. And then the winner and some of the runners-up get interviewed on the podcast.
Nice.
And it's been great because the guests have all been really good, really good guests. But the story that Amber is referring to is that Michael goes hitchhiking. And there was one particular occasion when he was hitchhiking with a friend going from Poland to Amsterdam.
Mm.
So from Poland through Germany. You know where Poland and Amsterdam are? So he was hitchhiking and he got picked up by these very, very, very dodgy guys who it turned out were drunk and smoking like meth or something in their van. And it all got very on top. And Michael was convinced that not only were they very untrustworthy criminals, but they were planning to take them. Right? To kidnap them. I don't know if Liam Neeson was involved. This is Taken 4. Like Michael is Liam's sort of, you know, younger cousin. Michael, you're going to be taken. I don't know. Anyway, and he became convinced that the guys were going to kidnap them in order to harvest their organs.
Right.
And Amber, you don't believe it, do you? You're skeptical.
Look.
Don't believe what? About his story or organ harvesting in general?
I've not listened to the whole podcast, so I've not had the pleasure of hearing the rest, but like I was listening to it and it was a really interesting interview. And he was saying this like about going hitchhiking and why he likes it and it's really good. But then he had this like one dodgy encounter and this story about like they're in the car, the bloke seemed dodgy and he thinks he's going to get his organs harvested. Now, I believe that he instinctively was correct. Something was definitely wrong and he listened to his instincts and I salute him because people often think, oh, this is dodgy. Oh, no, it's okay.
Yeah.
And then they end up being like kept in a cave for 20 years or
like,
whatever.
It's all right, I've got two kidneys, you know?
Yeah.
I don't need both. It'll be fine.
But I needed more because people can be dodgy, but organ harvesting is quite specific and extreme. I feel like maybe we were missing a part of the story.
You felt it was a bit of a stretch to go from we're in danger to they're going to specifically take our kidneys.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. Well, he did say that
they
were making jokes to each other. Ha ha ha, we're going to take your organs. Wink, wink, wink. And like, so they were saying that, but I believe that those guys were making those jokes, and I can actually believe that they were making the jokes, winking at each other as if to say, hey, we're just making fun of you. But then to each other, they were going, no, but we really are. I don't know.
I believe that he was right. I think you have to trust your instincts. And it sounds like he is quite, you know, a person who obviously is in tune with his instincts. So I think that was really good. I think he did the right thing getting out, saving himself and his friend from dot, 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 who knows what. But I suppose in a way, it's such a sort of, maybe I'm naive. Maybe I just don't think organ harvesting goes on as much. And it does.
Organ harvesting is a thing.
Or that, I suppose if you're like...
I don't know why they call it harvesting.
I was about to say that.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's such a specific word to use for what you're not harvesting anything. You're stealing it and selling it on the black market.
Harvesting also suggests that, you know, it's like a farming term. It suggests going out into a field and cutting down and gathering many, many, many crops in one big bulk of crop.
Involves a tractor.
But it's not a tractor or a scythe or some industrial farming machinery that you use to harvest people's organs. Mm. It's more just like, cut that open, get a couple of kidneys. Right, let's get out of here.
Terrifying.
It is terrifying, yeah.
Does it happen so much?
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
But you kind of think, aren't the people doing it? Well, I suppose you need a combo. You need like the sort of muscle and then you need the doctors.
So you didn't finish listening to his whole hitchhiking bit?
I listened to the whole hitchhiking bit, I think, because then you were talking, I think you'd moved on to the next subject. Yeah.
Because they did, so just to finish the story, Paul, Michael and his friend started faking, like they were, Michael was dropping into the conversation. Oh yeah, because my diabetes is playing up again and I've got hepatitis B and C, you know, he was like dropping in all these things like, you know, suggesting he had some rare blood disease. And then he said, like, we've got to stop because I really need the toilet. He pretended to have gastro or something like that.
Yeah.
And they managed to escape from these guys at a petrol station.
Jesus
and,
Christ.
You know, they kind of left them and went over to some people and just like got away. But then to continue their journey, they decided to keep hitchhiking, right? And they made rules. The rules were, okay, no more Polish people, because they were scared that they were going to get picked up by these people's associates.
Right.
Because they heard them talking to other people on the phone who were also on the road, and they were concerned that they were going to get picked up by the other guys that they were associated with. And so they said, right, no more Polish people, no vans, and no drugs or alcohol. And so the next car that picked them up...
It was a Mormon van.
Somehow, yeah, a Mormon van full of crackheads. Polish Mormon crackheads. Somehow the next vehicle that picked them up, I think they didn't realize it at the beginning, but they were drinking again and they were Polish. It wasn't a van.
What is this?
But these two guys turned out to be the friends of the two people they just escaped from.
No, I didn't hear
you
that.
Didn't
bit.
Hear
no,
this
I didn't
bit.
Get to that bit because I arrived.
Yes. So this is like, you know, how the story continues. And they couldn't believe it. But these two guys that picked them up the second time were apparently the brains of the organization. And the other two that they'd been picked up by were the muscle, as you said.
Right.
And so these guys definitely seemed to be, you know, a cut above the other ones. And they were sort of more intelligent and seemed to be in charge and stuff like that. And he says the only reason they didn't do anything to them is because ultimately they kind of... what's the word for it? Like, ingratiated themselves with them. And so they liked them. And then they're like, you know what? You know, we'll let you go, kind of thing, is what they thought. I know, maybe you're thinking Michael's got an overactive imagination and he all dreamt it. He dreamt it all. But, you know, I don't doubt that these sorts of things happen. I also don't doubt that there are dodgy people like that. I've met people like that in dodgy pubs in sort of...
What, organ
not
stealers.
Organ harvesters, no, but you know what I mean? Like just... So in some crappy pub, like in the middle of nowhere where I used to live, you'd get people coming through, just dodgy, weird people who would come into the pub and I'd be working there or just drinking there or whatever. And you get these odd people who come through and you just get a real vibe of like, these are really, really weird and dangerous people. It just comes off them. Like you can just smell it. And I wouldn't be surprised if there were kidnappers, organ harvesters. It's probably very rare. But who knows?
Doesn't mean it didn't happen. It's true. I wasn't there. I feel like there was more. Maybe he was shielding us from some of the sort of more graphic aspects of the story. It reminds me, actually, of a podcast that I listened to.
Which one?
It's about Burke and Hare. Do you know who they are?
I thought you meant Birkenhead. Birkenhead in Merseyside? No. Birkenhead? No, Burke and Hare.
Burke and Hare. They were these, like, the original grave robbers. But instead of robbing the graves, they would just kill people and sell the bodies to, like, you know, the surgeons in Edinburgh.
Wait a minute. Grave robbers normally would be robbing the, taking dead bodies from graves in order to conduct research or to sell them to, well, to
yeah,
people.
Grave robbers, they dig up like a recently dead body and then sell them to the, you know, to the scientists.
This is
to,
back
to,
in the...
To when, make experiments
when,
on them.
When
autopsies and to learn, like there were the okay. medical schools, like I,
when,
like, I suppose it was the turn of the last century, like
so 100 years or so ago, yeah. before before there was such a thing as I will give my body to science, medical
yeah,
science
right.
exactly.
In those days they had to just find bodies where they could yeah.
And so and then, like, you know, these two, they, like, I don't know, someone died, they had like some sort of house, I think they were running like a little doss house, like a sort of cheap bed and breakfast, and someone died, and then they're like, oh, what are we going to do with this? And then they gave it to the scientist, you know, and he gave them good hard cash for it. So then they developed this way, which is called Birking, of killing people without leaving any traces.
Whoa.
For the money, supply and demand.
Yeah,
so I mean there is a demand for organs.
Oh, certainly.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of demand for There was something I was reading, not recently, but like maybe a year ago, about something about something to do with organ harvesting. I can't remember what it was, but it was something that had come to light.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, it was weird. I don't understand it, obviously, but it's crazy that that's...
See, the thing is, like, who... So if there are organs being traded on the black market,
isn't there a
right?
film about that as well?
Well, there
like
is...
Somebody woke up with... They found out...
Probably
they had
is.
Like a thing less in the body than they should have had, and it was there was a
they
scar.
Wake up in a yeah. bath full of ice. What film is that?
Now I'm sure there's a horror film about organ harvesting, but there's also a horror film called Hostel. Have you seen
yeah.
that?
Well, this story that you were saying reminded me of that.
Totally. Do you know about Hostel? It's one of these horrible,
oh, God.
Horrible.
It's horrific.
It's described. The genre is torture porn. It's Eli Roth. Eli Roth, who's like a friend of Quentin Tarantino's, and he did like lots of different horror films. He's in Inglourious Basterds.
Okay.
Anyway, he's horrible, and he makes really horrible, nasty films. I mean, his films. I don't know the gentleman personally. I'm sure he's very personable as an individual. Eli, if you're listening, sorry, I don't mean you. Just your work. I hate your work. No. So the story of Hostel is like these American backpackers go sort of backpacking in parts of.
Eastern
Europe, let's say, sort of nondescript parts of Eastern Europe. And while they're there, they kind of get kidnapped. One of them gets kidnapped, and it turns out he's been kidnapped by a sort of ring of torture people. I don't know what the word for that is, really. People who like torture. There's this company. There's this really nasty organization that captures tourists, and then people can come pay their money to torture these people who are held in these cells in some old industrial park somewhere. And so, you know, it's all about how one of the characters gets caught and, you know, he's about to be tortured by this guy in a mask, and he somehow manages to escape, you know, the typical horror movie stuff. So yeah, it is quite a lot like Hostel.
I don't even remember any of that story. I just remember thinking that film was horrific.
Oh yeah, it's nasty. It's a really nasty, nasty, nasty film. Ugh.
It's like Saw.
Yeah,
oh, that's horrible.
I can't stand that kind of stuff. I like horror films, but I don't like just the really graphic torture stuff. I mean,
the guy's sawing his own hand off to get. It was such a horrific film, and so was the second one. I don't.
Oh, you saw this? You're like, this is horrific. What, let me see the next one.
Yeah, because you kind of get it's like horrific, but you're kind of like, oh god, all right, I've got to watch the second one now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember any of the plot line of any of them, but I just remember them being horrific.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, there's that book by Kazuo Ishiguro that was turned into a film with Keira Knightley.
Never Let Me Go, is it that?
Yeah, Never Let Me Go. And in this book, like, he imagines this futuristic world where you, I think if you've got money, you can have a clone made of yourself. So there's you, and then in a parallel sort of place is your clone. And I suppose in this world, I can't remember, I read it ages ago, like organ failure is a thing, because then your person, your clone, you'll slowly harvest their organs for you because they're a perfect match. But then, of course, they will. There's only so many donations you can make.
But the thing is about organ harvesting on the black market, right? So where is the demand on the black market? I understand that if you've got kidney failure, then you're going to go, you need a new kidney. But why would you choose to you know, get one illegally? Why not go through the normal...
Well, because I think it's probably in countries where there isn't...
There's no healthcare and stuff.
Yeah, and it's just like sketchy people doing it. I don't know. That's the thing. It's a good question. I don't know where the demand for organs is.
Well, we know where the demand is. The real question is, like, how do you go up to hospital and be like, got some kidneys? Do you need kidneys?
They're not selling them. These dudes are not selling them to the hospitals, are they? Aren't they?
No,
isn't there going to be some underground organ market where you're like, go on the dark web and you're like, you know, Amazon for kidneys or whatever it is.
But then it has to be like, what, a private clinic?
Amazon you still for need, kidneys.
I don't know.
You still need a doctor to put it in.
Yes, a dodgy doctor, like an evil doctor.
It's complicated.
There must be a whole network of naughty people doing naughty things. It's like everything. It's not just drugs and stuff. It's like, you know, if you need to get the groceries, you could go to the normal grocery shop, or you can go on the dark web and get dark groceries.
dark
milk and bread. It's cheaper, but it's riskier.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Yes, okay.
Estimated tens of thousands of prisoners of conscience have been killed to supply a lucrative trade in human organs and cadavers, and these abuses may be ongoing.
This is controversial, because now we're talking about, what was it, criminals of conscience? We probably
prisoners of conscience.
Prisoners of conscience.
I cut this. Huh? You don't want to start upsetting
I don't want to get the...
I thought prisoners of conscience meant prisoners who are conscious.
It's mind crimes, thought crime.
Oh, okay. Anyway... Now I'm trying to figure out like where you would
cut, eject quick, press the red, to focus on European crime.
If you're going to talk about
political corruption, make it British political corruption only. Everyone's fine with that. The only kind of controversial subject on this podcast that gets lots of traction from everyone around the world is like, isn't Britain a fucking disaster? If I talk about any other country being a disaster, everyone's like, no! Yeah. You know.
Well, it's fun because you type in organ harvesting into Google. The first article is, where is organ trafficking most common? Most prevalent in Israel, India,
Israel?
China, Pakistan, Turkey, Brazil, everywhere basically.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I'm sure it's all over
Eastern Europe.
But then, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to say it. I was listening to a podcast.
Wait, before you say that, we started recording this without a plan, and now I'm sitting there thinking, what's the topic, what's the title of this episode going to be? Organ harvesting with Amber and Paul. We should actually go out and do some. So we're going to now go out into the streets of Paris, see if we can do a little bit of organ harvesting. Anyway, you were listening to a podcast.
I'm listening to a podcast. It's called The Happiness Lab. And it's this woman, and she kind of looks at, like, you know, what things you can do to make yourself happy. And it's from Yale, I think.
What's the name of the woman? It's not Gretchen Rubin, is it?
No,
because that's another
Rubin.
Happiness podcast. That's what my wife listens to.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. There's lots of them. Hold on, I'll see if I can find
mine
the
listens
one.
To the A Penis podcast. Oh, she can't Epiness. Pronounce happiness.
Happiness.
Happiness podcast.
It's a happiness lab with Dr. Laurie Santos.
Okay.
And so she's got all these different things, like, you know, what did Buddha say, and what did, you know, ancient wisdoms and stoicism and philosophy.
It's like, if you're feeling a bit sad, just get a new brain on the black market.
Or get a new brain. No, but one of the things is about, like, generosity, like giving things. Like, you know, you're happier if I gave you 20 euros and I said, oh, you can spend this 20 euros on yourself, or you can give this 20 euros to Paul. Actually, giving the 20 euros to Paul would make you happier than spending the money on yourself.
No, it wouldn't.
Give the money to Paul, Luke.
No.
Well, according to Dr. Laurie Santos, like generosity, like, you know, giving, whether it's time or money, like giving these things, these gestures to help other people really makes you happy. And then they looked at these like extreme forms of altruism, including someone who donated one of his kidneys to an unknown person just because he was like, he realized there was a need and was like, this is awful. I don't need this kidney. I'm going to give it to someone else. And they looked at these people who do this, who give these organ donation, not to a family member, but to a stranger, and how fulfilling it is, apparently.
So Michael from Poland, you know, just maybe you should have given the kidney. Yeah. Just saying.
Well, giving so
you
is watch,
have you ever seen the film 7 Pounds?
No.
With Will Smith?
Yeah.
No.
It's unbelievable. It's basically that. It's like he that makes 7 donations he basically donates parts of him to other people, to like 7 different people. It's a really touching movie. Like, I remember just like bawling my eyes out.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's a really good film. That, like, if you watch that and The Pursuit of Happiness, like, again with Will Smith, like back to back, you're just like, who is this person? Because I remember him, you know, from yeah. Men in Black being yeah. a funny and then like these films are great. So anyway, yeah, that's 7 Pounds is about that.
So would you give up a kidney then, Amber?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm not that tempted to give up a kidney like that.
So the human body can just, it's just fine with one, is it?
It's fine with one, unless that
until,
one packs
yeah,
up.
Yeah, until that one packs up.
Right, so you get two just as a one as a backup as the other one. Why don't you get two of everything? Why don't you get two hearts? Like, you know, the other, you got one heart struggling, the other heart's like, it's all right, I got it.
Like octopus.
Relay race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An octopus. Do octopuses.
They've got 3 hearts.
Have they? That's a bit greedy, isn't it, of them?
I mean, they've got eight legs.
8 legs, 3 hearts. Bloody hell. But they don't have other things. They don't have, what, arms? But when you've got 8 legs, who needs arms, right? They've got a beak as well, octopuses. They have a beak like a parrot.
I thought that was a squid.
Maybe a squid too, but no, octopus has got a little beak in there as well.
Oh.
So, you know.
What's it doing, cracking the nuts open? What's
I don't know.
What's it got a beak for?
Eating berries and nuts and things. I don't know. But anyway, is that the conclusion of our organ harvesting
yeah,
conversation?
Yeah, I think so. I think
then?
We should move on from organ harvesting.
You know, because like, I feel obliged to make the entire episode about organ harvesting now, but then we're just, you know, then we'll be dragging out the subject. So instead, I'll say this. Paul, hello. So what's the situation?
We started again. The situation is we're at your place, Luke. We just had lunch.
Mm-hmm. What was the lunch?
Bento box.
Of?
Chicken. Fried chicken.
Yeah.
Is it fried chicken?
Fried chicken. It
fried
was karage.
Okay.
Which is fried chicken in Japanese. With rice and all the other Japanese
With like
bits.
Legit stuff as well. It wasn't like your typical Japanese thing that you would find in France. It's not like, oh, Western Japanese, like Western Japanese food to make it, like it reminded me of when I was in Japan.
Yeah, it's a proper Japanese food. The woman who runs the restaurant is like legit Japanese.
Do you speak to her in Japanese now and again?
Yeah, sometimes. That's I go cool. in there and sort of speak a mix of French, English and Japanese. So I'll go in and like, bonjour, and then, you know, then it's...
Arigato gozaimasu.
Yeah, at the end, hi, arigato gozaimasu, gozaimasu. That's there's like different versions of arigato gozaimasu. My favourite one is the drunk company man, the drunk salary man leaving an izakaya at 12 PM, mm-hmm. and he'll just leave and he'll just go azus, azus. So yes, I'll say that when I leave, and she
thinks you're just a drunk.
She's just like, who
Japanese.
Is this?
Another drunk salary man. Happy drunk salary man. So we just had our karage bento boxes and we're sitting in my kitchen living room. The dishwasher is running, listeners.
Yeah,
I don't know if you could
hear it.
You can probably hear a low level humming sound. That's just a dishwasher. Yeah, all right. Okay, you know what? You know what we could do? We could do this.
Tell us.
So you remember last time, the last two times you were on this podcast, Paul, we had the random questions with Paul Taylor, which was then called Potluck with Paul Taylor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've still got loads of those questions. So we can
let's just do that. Yeah.
We can carry on with that. And just, they're just random questions, little conversation points. We'll keep going until Amber has to go. Get the baby. Yeah. Exactly.
Sounds good to me.
All right, so you basically got to give me a number. Give me a number like from 1 to like 50 and all that. And if this, if, yeah, go on, Amber.
47.
The year my mother was born.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
47 is guess the punchline.
Guess the punchline.
Okay, let's see if Amber's any better at this than I am.
Okay.
Oh God, I'm terrible.
I've just realised I left the joke book upstairs and stuff. So I'll just go with the first one that's in my head at this moment. Are you ready, Amber?
I'm ready.
This is an amazing episode. It's the most disorganised episode.
Did you hear about the Spanish fireman and his two hoses?
Hose A.
Yes.
And hose B.
Yes.
She
did it.
That was good.
You did it, Amber. That's brilliant. Did you hear about the two Spanish firemen and his two hoses? No, the two? How many?
The Spanish fireman and his two hoses.
Hose A.
Hose A.
And hose B.
And hose B.
Yeah. Hello, listeners. This is me interrupting the podcast. I hope you're enjoying it. Hey, it's all a bit of fun, isn't it? Hey, organ harvesting and jokes. Yay. And controversial things. Anyway, I need to come in here because I've just realised I got that joke wrong. I got the joke wrong, of course. I mean, it still made Paul and Amber laugh, but no, that's not the proper version of the joke. Obviously, this is very important, so I have to tell you the proper version of the joke. So it goes like this. Did you hear about the Spanish fireman and his two sons, Jose and Jose B? Ha, now the joke actually makes sense now. Doesn't it? Because Jose, of course, is a famous Spanish boy's name. Did you hear about the fireman and his two sons? The Spanish fireman and his two sons, Jose and Hose B. A hose, of course, is the thing that a fireman uses to spray water on fires in order to stop them. Okay, that was extremely important interruption, but I will now let you carry on enjoying this slightly disorganized but fun episode with the pod pals Amber and Paul. Thank you. There you go. Paul, it's your turn.
Paul, your turn.
Give me a number.
34
has already been done. That was the random. Right, that was
Luke. I've got a tip for you. Why with this list?
Just cut them all out.
No. Yeah, cut the ones that you've done out and then renumber them.
That would make sense, but then I'd have to cut them all out and renumber them, you see.
Why don't you randomly choose
them?
Yeah,
why don't you pick a number that has...
Because we don't know which ones have been picked.
Okay then. So number two.
Amber?
No, we've already...
You've already done number two.
I just realised we have already done that one.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, Paul Taylor, random accent challenge.
Okay.
It's not that random because I know that you're good at it. So I'd like you to do a French person teaching a class of English people how to speak French in English.
Fuck.
You're a French...
You're
a French teacher.
So my name is Jean-Pierre, oui.
And you're teaching a class of English people.
You are the English people in my class.
And you're trying to get us to speak French, but you're teaching the class in English.
Okay, class, very good. So in order for you to speak the correct French, you have to say grenouille. Can you say grenouille?
Grenouille. Do I have to do that with my hand when I say it?
You do grenouille. Grenouille. Very good, Master Luke.
Grenouille. I can't say it. Grenouille. This is one of the words I can't say. My son is learning ouille at the moment in school, and I'm failing.
Does he say couille? Yeah.
Well, he had to write five words with an ouille sound, and he was doing them this morning for his homework, and they were like, ooh, nouille, grenouille, and I was like,
couille. Couille means balls.
I've got a better idea, actually, for this sketch. Can I just rewrite the sketch, the concept? So you're a French person teaching English to two English native speakers, but our pronunciation is wrong. We pronounce things correctly, and you have to correct us, making it bad. So
welcome to the class, Amber and Luke. Very good for you to be. We learn English today, huh? Okay. It is what we have to do. Okay.
Yeah.
On est d'accord.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Super. So we need to learn the word schroot.
Sorry, what?
Schroot. You spell it.
It's an English word, right?
It's an English word, schroot. It is.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I've got it. Yeah.
Throughout.
No. Schroot.
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 Can you give it to us in a sentence?
Schroot today, I will be doing many different things.
Schroot today, I will be doing many different things.
In English, you are supposed to spell it T-H-R-O-U-G-H-O-U-T.
Mm-hmm. And that's a
but this is bullshit spelling. Schroot. Fuck the spelling. The spelling not correct. If we spell it schroot, it is S-R-O-O. O-O-T.
Schroot.
Schroot.
Schroot. It's all about where you put the, you know.
The stress.
The stress.
Schroot.
Schroot. Schroot.
Okay, brilliant. I like it. Brilliant. Thank you. Thanks for the English lesson. All right, wonderful.
You're welcome.
Right, next.
Amber, pick a number that's already been done.
Amber, no, I'm just going to tell you the number. I'm going through it in chronological order now.
Okay.
Chronological order? No, numerical order. I'm an English teacher. You're welcome. So, here's a tough one. You ready? Question five. What are your favourite fruit and veg?
Oh,
favourite fruit, favourite veg. Go.
Favourite fruit. Berries.
Just generic berries. Any kind
I
of
like
berry.
A framboise. Raspberry.
Raspberry.
You mean
a raspberry?
A raspberry.
A raspberry.
You like a raspberry?
I like a raspberry.
Which raspberry?
Just one. Just a raspberry.
Any raspberry.
Or an apple. I like an apple. Keep it simple.
If it was a fight between a raspberry and an apple.
Excuse me, it's not pronounced apple, it's pronounced happle.
Happle. A happle and a framboise, a framberry. Yeah.
If it was a fight between a raspberry and an apple.
Yeah.
Which one?
Maybe an apple. Can pop an apple in your bag, you're good to go.
You can't pop a raspberry in your bag.
You cannot, no.
You're going to get a sticky...
It's going to go everywhere.
It's going to get
you
squashed.
Can blow a raspberry, can't blow an apple.
Mm.
True.
Mm-hmm. Good mm-hmm. point. Very good point. What does that mean,
blowing a raspberry?
It was the bento box. Blowing a raspberry. So,
it means to blow a kiss to when you go... Mwah.
No, that's not blowing a raspberry.
It's not a raspberry?
No. Okay.
Because what I like to do is, like, you blow a raspberry, like, on your children's tummy, you know, when you sort of put your mouth against them and you go, like...
I have to say, this is the classic way.
Oh, is that a raspberry?
That's a raspberry, yeah. Or like that. You stick your tongue out.
Stick your tongue out and make that...
The farting noise.
Yeah.
It's a childish insult, blowing a raspberry.
Yeah, that's it.
Why did I think it was blowing a kiss?
No idea.
Maybe that's what it is in French. I don't know. Fuck off.
I don't think they call that. In French.
So that's your favourite fruit.
Yeah.
What about your favourite vegetable?
I mean, you know,
apple
I don't...
is your favourite fruit. Okay,
I don't put these in hierarchy, I must admit. I like all vegetables.
I'm asking you to do it now. That's the point.
Game.
This is your political manoeuvring. Like, you have to answer this like you're a member of the Conservative Party.
I like a butternut.
So imagine you are a Conservative politician. I've just asked you a direct question. You've got to try and avoid it.
Oh, okay. All right then.
So, Minister, could you please clarify your favourite vegetable? What is your favourite vegetable?
Well, I mean, I think we like all vegetables to be represented, you know, eat a rainbow and all that.
Yes, but specifically, which one? Everyone has their favourite vegetable. You mentioned, you know, you have talked about this recently. So can you just confirm what your favourite vegetable is?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't want to confirm or deny anything about vegetables. I think that they're all, as we've already mentioned, great, whether they come from the ground, whether they're grown above ground or underground. I mean, that's the joy of vegetables. So I can definitely confirm, yes, vegetables.
Then you'd probably say something like, I think we've been very clear on this. And obviously the application of vegetables is very important and people have to have a balanced diet. And let me be clear, as well as another thing they always say. But anyway, Amber, seriously now, what is your favourite vegetable?
Well, I think that's been absolutely...
No, I'm serious now. Genuinely, forget the politician.
I mean, like I said, I like a butternut. I think you can do a lot with a butternut.
Butternut squash.
A lot with a butternut.
Okay.
What a random vegetable. What's you want that? My answers as well?
No, I want you to explain what a butternut squash is.
Wait. it's like a pumpkin, but with a big ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's I mean, it's the same family as pumpkin, and it's like basically got a round bottom that's quite. It's almost perfectly round, and then it goes up into like a.
Sort of almost phallic kind of shape.
Yeah,
on the top.
Is it phallic? It's not really phallic because it's not thin enough. Like, I mean, that's a. But it's like a penis with one ball.
Speak for yourself, Paul.
it's a penis with a bit. It's a one ball penis.
Have you not seen those butternut squashes that grow really? Really
oh yeah,
long?
Yeah. They're I'm thinking bit, of like the typical,
the normal ones, the micro,
the ones that are probably not organically grown. Yes. That are perfect in shape.
Yes.
But it's got nothing to do with nuts or butter.
So that should be clear, listeners. I expect everyone knows exactly what a butternut squash is now. Mm. So let's move on. Okay. Hold on 1 second.
The episode should be called What's Your Favourite Fruit? We pulled a number.
No. Organ harvesting / favourite fruits.
The most random mix.
Harvesting, whether it be organs or fruits.
It's harvesting.
Harvesting organs and fruit.
Harvesting with Paul, Amber and Paul. Oh my God. So the next thing is actually citizenship test. Hold on a minute.
Yes, love these questions.
I can't even say it.
I always say citizenship.
British citizenship test. That is the first.
Speaking of which, Luke just showed us his brand new citizenship passport.
I've got a brand new British passport, which is dark blue in colour.
Dark Brexit. in colour.
Hold on, it's bloody. I can't type and talk at the same time. Okay. What is the thing? Hold on.
Oh, yeah, hold on.
That's your thing.
That's my thing on my live every time. Because for some reason, I don't want silence.
Yeah.
So if I'm trying to do something on my computer that isn't working, like I'm trying to call somebody, like my mum on FaceTime or whatever else it is, I don't want there to be like a weird silence. So I'm just like, hold on. And my fans... like count the amount of hold ons per episode.
Okay, I've found a British citizenship test.
Okay,
as Sean Connery would say, British citizenship test. Okay, I'm gonna be really annoying now and ask you to pick a number between 1 and 24.
1 and 24. Yeah, go on. 13,
that's exactly the one that my cursor was hovering over. Oh, and it's perfect. Okay, Paul, yeah. True or false? Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland has its own banknotes, so it does, which are valid everywhere in the UK. Northern Ireland has its own banknotes, which are valid everywhere in the UK. True
that
or?
That is true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Check. True is the correct answer. Congratulations.
Bank of Ulster.
There you go. It's also true in Scotland, as Michael McIntyre will tell you.
Don't need your English bastard pounds.
But the idea, if you go into an English supermarket and you bring out a note of Scottish money, £10 note, but it's Scottish, people sort of like look at you in fear.
Yeah, it's the same with the Irish.
Same with the Irish one too.
Yeah, Wales has its own notes as well.
And then there's always a Scottish guy there who goes, excuse me, that's legal tender.
Yeah. The phrase that, as Michael McIntyre says, the phrase has only been invented for that one moment in time where you have money from one of the other UK countries and you try and spend it there.
I didn't know Wales had its own money.
I think Wales has got its own note in my... like,
it'd be funny if Wales had its own money, but it's not valid.
It's only valid in Wales.
I've got my Welsh money. Your Welsh money's no good here.
It's like the Brixton pound. Just good for Wales.
Right. Amber, you're going to do a citizenship test as well. Give me a number between 1 and 24, but not 13, because we've already done that.
24.
Okay, what did the Scottish man John Logie Baird develop? And you've got multiple guess if you want it. Multiple choice.
I do want multiple choice.
Oh, wait.
Television, radar, the personal computer, the impersonal computer. That's a joke. television, radar, personal computer, or radio. John Logie Baird. John Logie Baird! That's a terrible...
That reminds me of like every time I hear his name, I think of Yogi Bear. Like the cartoon.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know why.
Because it sounds practically the same, that's why.
Yogi Bear, John Logie Baird.
John Yogi Bear. Imagine if Yogi Bear's name was John. All right, John. Yeah, John Bear.
Do you know
John
this? You're a technical Yogi person. Bear. What is it? What was the last one?
Radio.
It's TV, radio, computer, or what was the...
Radar.
Well, he didn't invite radio.
It's not radar, and I don't think it's radio.
Why did you think if radio had been invented by a Scottish man, it never would have taken off? Because people would have turned it on and said, I can't understand a word he's saying. Switch it off.
Speaking a foreign language. Just like...
I don't think it's the personal computer, because if I'm not mistaken, Apple invented that. Like, Apple invented the first computer that was made for personal use at home. Well, it's a more graphical unit.
I was leaning to personal computer, because I feel like that's the one that I definitely would.
You know, you
I feel
don't...
like I know his name.
I know his name. I would lean more towards TV, but it's either TV or computer. I don't think it's computer. But having said that, the internet was invented radar. By an English guy.
Oh, come on, guys. Get on with it.
We don't know. I don't know.
Just multiple guess. That's why it's multiple guess.
What are you going with, Amber?
I'll go with personal computer.
I'll go with TV.
No, you're wrong about the personal computer. Paul says TV. It's the TV. The only time in history that Paul knew something that Amber didn't know.
Paul often knows things I don't know.
No, not in regards English.
No, yeah.
This whole episode should have been the citizenship test, because this is fun.
We've done that. We have done that before.
Yeah, but it's always fun.
Yeah, come on. Let's do another one then, Paul.
Go on.
Okay, go for it.
Give me a number between 1 and 24.
Not, 2.
I should have said give me a number between 1 and 23. Because we've already done 24, but still. Sorry, the number was?
2.
2. You're gonna take a number 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
is that the question?
Did everyone get that?
Yeah.
Did everyone get that? Paul is having a number 2 now on the podcast. Blew a raspberry there, just to emphasize the... No, you're still not getting it. I'll just tell the joke again. I'm sure that'll be fine. It's worked really well for me before. Nothing ever went wrong having told a joke again. Just send a comment in, listeners, if you didn't get the number 2 joke. Okay, I won't be bothered by that at all. So
then you can re-explain the Russian joke.
That was subtext. Anyway, St. Helena, Amber.
Yeah.
St. Helena is a British overseas territory and is part of the United Kingdom.
This is your question, Paul.
It's the British Overseas Territory and is part of the United Kingdom. St. Helena, which is an island somewhere.
Yes, Napoleon's island.
Right, it's where Napoleon got sent.
Yeah, to die.
Right. Interesting, they could have just shot him. They didn't need to send him to an island.
Well, they didn't want to make him into a martyr.
Ah.
They wanted to forget about him.
Oh, I see.
It didn't work, did it?
No, not at all. No one forgot about Napoleon.
Literally, no. There have been more books written about Napoleon.
In fact, Napoleon is more famous than the island he was sent to. Anyway, St. Helena is a British overseas territory, and it is part of the United Kingdom. True or false? Oh. You have heard my stand-up routine, haven't you?
True.
You're saying it's true.
I'm going to say it's a British overseas territory, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's part of the UK. I'm going to say false. Is it a true or false question?
It's a true or false question. True or false question.
I'm going to say, does it give you the answer afterwards? Can you explain it if it's false?
It might do.
Because there's loads of British overseas territories that aren't part of the UK, but they're British overseas territories.
The thing is that in France, anything that is a French overseas territory is part of France.
No, that's wrong as well.
Is it?
Yeah.
Paul is nailing it today. He's on fire.
Things like Martinique and Guadeloupe are French.
This is the guy who doesn't have a British passport as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But something like Guyane is a French overseas... There's French overseas territories and French overseas departments.
Mm.
So the departments are part of France, because so Martinique and Guadeloupe are departments, but the territories are not... They don't have French law.
They're departments. They're like the departments of relaxing and having a nice
something
time.
Something like that, yeah. So I have a feeling it'll be the same. The thing that gave it away for me was territory, a British overseas territory, rather than a... I don't know if there's what else we have.
I don't think department would have been a word.
No.
So is it true or false then, guys? Amber, you're saying...
I'm going to go with true.
True. Paul is saying false. The answer is that it is false.
He's on fire!
British overseas territories such as St. Helena and the Falkland Islands, a little bit controversial there as well, are linked to the UK but are not part of it. So they're not part of the UK, but they are. They have like the Queen as their figurehead, and yada yada yada. Mm. They're not. I mean, it's not. It's stronger than being in the Commonwealth. They are British overseas territories.
Yeah,
I'm failing being British.
Yeah, let's not talk about the Falkland Islands. Let's just move swiftly on. Do you want to do another citizenship?
Amber's got time for one more.
Yeah, let's do it.
You've got time for one more, have you, Amber?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
Love this episode.
Paul Taylor.
It's gone from.
Yeah,
Polish people stealing organs.
A very strange trajectory. So favorite fruit and vegetables to British citizenship test.
Oh,
so ready? Go on.
Yeah, go on.
Number.
Hold on, it's Amber's turn. No,
she just did the. Last
oh, she did
one.
The St. Helena one was yours. Yeah, it was. All right, number 17.
Yeah,
Number 17. What is your favourite fruit? No, not really. Can I have your kidneys? No, it's not that either. Okay, so what is Good Friday? What is Good Friday? You've got multiple choice.
I know this one. I know it.
What is Good Friday? Do you want the choices?
Yeah.
Well, because I don't know. Well, it is.
Bear in mind that it's Good Friday, so it must be something good.
Yeah, it's the Friday before Easter. But that's not the answers that it's going to propose.
So would you like the answers?
Yeah, because I need to know what...
Good Friday, right? Is it the day when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, when he was dead and then he came back? Is it the day when Jesus Christ was born?
No.
Is it the day when Jesus Christ died?
Yes.
Or is it the day when Jesus Christ became 30 years old? Yay, happy birthday, Jesus. Good Friday.
Also his birthday, that's a trick question.
Yeah, Friday. No, because he came back 3 days later, didn't he? So I feel like he died on the Friday.
And that's why they call it Good Friday.
And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and he came back on a Monday?
There was a sketch about this that was pretty funny.
Oh, okay. It's been done before, has it?
Well, they were just talking about...
Is it Foil Arms and Hog, by any chance? They're the guys who, like, every single video, I'm like, ah, damn, they did it.
Yeah.
Damn. Every single damn video that those guys
did. Well, I just... I still... And every time, every fucking year, I look this up, and every year I forget. I'm always like, why is he born on the same day every year, but he died on a different day, apparently? You know, because Easter is a different day every year, depending on things.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. It's pretty.
Some people might think it's just a story.
Pretty good coincidence that he was born on Christmas Day as well. It's kind of easier for the parents; they don't have to buy so many presents.
So I think Friday's the day that he died, apparently, and I think he came back on Sunday or Monday.
Right,
but it's not that. Why is it always a Friday, and why is it not a specific date? Well, that's what I don't understand.
They've made it a Friday because it's more convenient for him to die on the Friday because then you've got the weekend to like recover and stuff. You know, he comes back on the Monday, right? So he took him a week. He needs a weekend to get over it.
Right.
Okay, we're being frivolous about...
Was that the right answer?
Being frivolous about religion. Nothing ever went wrong with that. My dishwasher is going to beep 5 times.
Oh, why do they beep so many times?
The washing machine's the worst. It's hysterical.
Oh, same.
Absolutely hysterical, the washing machine. Anyway, Good Friday... is the day when Jesus
died,
says died. Paul. Do you want to have a stab at this?
No, I know, because we've just had Easter and I bought a Bible, a children's Bible.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought I'd like read some to my son. But I got a bit of a smitey version.
What do you mean a smitey version?
God's a bit mean. There's quite a lot of
smiting.
A lot of smiting.
To smite is to smash something, to kind of destroy it, to kill it.
Yeah, I was looking for more of a sort of lightweight children's version. And it looked nice, but it was a bit more smitey
than
I...
It is the Bible. There's quite a lot of smiting. And
a lot of smiting.
A lot of plagues and things in there. It's difficult to make it a kid-friendly.
Well, I think they could have chosen... I read the Tower of Babel and it was like, and then God destroyed the tower and they lived in darkness and confusion. And I just thought,
Hugo is telling you that he wants you to die and he's going to destroy your tomb.
Hold on. Before we get to the thing about Hugo's amazing insults in English... Let's just settle this question once and for all. Amber, you know the answer, do you?
Yeah, died.
It's when he died.
Because this was the sketch. It was like, I can't remember who it was, but it was so funny. And they were like, oh, like, what's Good Friday about? And it's like, oh, well, you know, he's paraded through town and he's like, you know, his friends give him up and then he's beaten and then he's crucified and they call it Good Friday. And she's just like, oh, those Jewish people, dark sense of humour.
You have the pass, by the way, don't you, to say that to... Just in case anyone's listening, it's like Amber can say that. It's fine. Yes, that's the correct answer. Jesus died on Good Friday. God knows.
And he came back on a Monday, is it?
Well, he pops into his tomb.
Sounds
everyone's
like a
sad.
Craig David song almost. Jesus died on Friday. Had a little rest on Saturday. We were breaking bread on Monday and on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. We chilled on Friday.
Oh, Jesus.
Exactly.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I'm sorry. Shall I make an apology now or shall I leave it till later?
Shut up. Stop apologising. Oh, God. That was funny.
It's a good story.
So anyway, so he comes back on the Monday, is it, or the Sunday?
Comes back on the Monday, yeah, because it's 3 days. 3 days later, he rises.
So... most Catholic countries like France, even though it's not supposed to be a Catholic country, but it does all the Catholic holidays, Monday is the bank holiday, We don't have a bank holiday.
We do.
Do we?
Yeah, yeah. Easter Monday.
Easter Monday.
Oh, so it is a bank holiday.
Yep.
Mm.
Oh, okay. For some reason, but French people celebrate like Easter Monday more. We do Sunday, and the
we
French
do Sunday, and then we just chill on Monday. It's true. We do. We do the meal and stuff, and yeah, the parents, the grandparents.
I don't know. I'm confusing it with Christmas and on the 24th and 25th, and
they don't do Boxing Day. That's the thing. You see, in England, we like to have a day off after the main event.
Are you sure Monday's
to get
bank
over
holidays?
The hangover?
For me, the Friday's a bank holiday.
They're both bank holidays.
Because in France, the Friday isn't a bank holiday.
No, the Friday's not a bank holiday in France, but the Monday is.
And in England, the Friday and the Monday, so you get a super-duper long weekend.
Mm. Okay,
yeah. Fair enough. All right, so listeners, you heard us mention Hugo, who is Amber's son, who has been on this podcast, actually. He's sort of in the background a couple of times. We haven't mentioned him recently. We've mentioned stories involving Hugo in the past, like I won't go into...
Him shitting under the table at a restaurant.
Yeah, he did a poo.
The amount of people I've told that to recently, because Louise is starting to like take her own nappy off now.
Yeah,
and the amount of people were told, oh yeah, we've got this friend called Amber. Her son took a shit in the restaurant under the table while they were just eating. Such a great story.
That story was told in more detail in a previous episode of this podcast. I don't remember which episode it was. It was one of the catching up with Amber and Paul ones when we were up on the rooftop of my old flat burning in the sun. Anyway, so Hugo is now the ripe old age of 7 now.
7.
And his English is incredible. And... his English excels, especially when he is insulting you.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good at all things, but he sounds like a book because he just he listens to audiobooks, so like Harry Potter and Percy Jackson. Mm-hmm. And so he does come out with some sort of quite...
sort of florid literary language.
Yeah.
It's great. And so the other day, what was it that caused him to insult you and threaten you in such a way? What was it?
I forgot the goûté.
Oh yeah, you forgot his goûter, which is a snack in the afternoon in French, like staple of French daily life. So you forgot his compote or his biscuit or whatever. And what did he say to you?
No, I forgot his goûter. But the thing is, I never bring his goûter to school because we live 5 minutes, not even, from the school. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I think he was just having a bad day. He was having a bad day.
Right.
But he got furious. He was absolutely livid. And so he was just like, I hate you. I hate you. He was like, I hate you. I want you to die. I'm going to get someone to come and kill you. And then when you're buried, I'm going to find your tombstone. I'm going to break it into 100 pieces.
Oh, my God. So I want to kill you. I'm going to send someone to murder you.
He's going
to
get someone to murder me. He's going to employ someone to come and stab me to death.
Has he been listening to or watching Taken?
Maybe.
I know who you are. You're my mother.
You are to send people to stab you.
But normally, I'd like to say he's very sweet and doesn't threaten to stab me and kill me and like have people. But he is a bit dark.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think Louise met Hugo. I think I think she fell in love. he in his ninja black outfit. I don't know what he was doing, but she was just mesmerized by him. I mean, she's mesmerized by...
You're sure she wasn't just terrified?
She's in the plan to kill you as well, by the way.
Good. I'm not surprised. Well, Hugo's in my... I teach on Wednesdays at this sort of bilingual school, and Hugo goes as well. And so he's in another class, like a younger class, because I teach older children. And that class that day was being watched by my boss. So the teacher was having her lesson assessed. And the teacher, she's teaching, they're only little, like, you know, question words. And so she said, oh, who can use question words? Who would like to try and ask a question? And so some kids were like, what's your name? Where are you from? And Hugo, my boss texted me in the lesson, put up his hand and said, what's your darkest fear?
That is amazing.
7 years old, he is.
And I was just like, okay. And I was like, yeah, it's just very on brand. He just comes out with really dark things.
That's
like,
amazing.
My favourite is he said once to me.
Did he ask a question? How do you harvest organs?
You should do.
Yeah, I need some kidneys. Where can I get them?
He said to me once, Amber, because he calls me Amber. He's like, Amber, do you not taste better than chocolate? And I was like, I don't know. He's like, my tears.
Oh my God. I thought he was going to say like the sweet, sweet taste of revenge.
It could be.
Oh, the tears of other children, the tears of my enemies, who I have smote with my revenge. Yeah,
mm. Yeah, he's heading in that direction.
Great stuff.
Yeah, great. But because he always wears the same clothes, like it's funny. Like sometimes I'll go round to his, like I'll take him round to play at a friend's house, and they'll be wearing the same clothes as him. Like they'll have dressed.
Like him. Is he a trendsetter
now? He's a trendsetter. Yeah,
just exactly. Wearing all black.
Just wearing all black. I'll go around and be like...
He inspired me.
I can see that.
He's wearing black all the time.
He inspired you, Johnny Cash, Darth Vader.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah, ninjas, all ninjas.
All ninjas.
Yeah. No, he's got like the ninja style. It's like a conscious choice. He's like, he refuses to wear anything other than his ninja clothes. Mm. Am I right? Super, what are they called? Powerful clothes.
Powerful clothes, yeah.
Yeah.
No coat.
Right, because he's powerful. He can resist the icy.
It's a good,
icy
job cold. He's got some English blood in him then. Oh,
yeah. Sometimes it's absolutely freezing and he just will not wear a coat and I just feel so ashamed. But the coat slows him down. It takes away his power.
Mm-hmm. I think him and Louise are going to be good friends at some point because Louise is heading that direction. She's already mental and she doesn't want to wear anything outdoors. And Addie is French, one, and she's female too. So she is cold. She's just super cold.
Also, my daughter, she also refuses to wear coats too.
I think it's
she's
the English
like,
thing.
Pow! I am English. I'm an English girl. I will go out with virtually no clothes on in sub-degree temperatures.
They're practicing for their night out in Leicester.
Yeah.
No coats. We'll not check a coat.
At 12 at midnight on the 3rd of December, going to a club in mini skirts, no coat. Yeah. They're practicing.
But I have to tell them at the school, like they'll say things to me, like the teachers, and I'll say, oh, you know, in England, we don't wear coats. I mean, that's not actually true. It's just
I don't know. Like when I was working in London at the language school, and I used to every now and then take students out on trips into town to visit certain places, the pub. I would often just go out just without a coat. I just, you know, if it's a warm enough sort of, you know, day, it's springtime day or something, I'd go out in my trousers and a shirt because it wouldn't cross my mind that you have to wear a coat. You know, that's the culture in lots of places. Like in Paris, definitely going out without a coat is, you can't go out without a coat.
Yeah, I can't go out with a coat or a scarf.
So I'd go out without it just, you know, normally fine. And then my students would be like, but Luke, you're not wearing a coat. I'm like, yeah, so what? It's all right. I'm not cold. So there you go. That concludes that part of the conversation. Do you want another citizenship test question?
One last citizenship and then I'm off.
One, two, three, four. So five. It's back to Amber again.
Okay.
Gives a number between 1 and 24.
Five.
Okay. We haven't had that yet. Oh.
Oh.
Okay. You're going to know this one. I'm confident you're going to know this.
I won't.
Women over the age of 30 were
fallow.
Women of fallow age.
Yeah.
Women of fallow years. Women over the age of 30 were given the right to vote as a result of their contribution towards the war effort. Which war was that? Which war was that? Women over the age of 30 were given the right to vote as a result of their contribution towards the war effort. Which war was that?
Which war was that? I don't know. When did women get the vote in England?
Oh, come on. You really?
I don't know. I know it was really late in France. Really, really late. I suppose it must be the First World War. Tell me.
So you've got the Second World War.
First World War.
The First World War. The Third World War. The Fourth World War. No, that didn't work.
Oh, it's multiple choices.
Second World War, the Crimean War, the First World War, or the Civil War.
No, the First World War.
The First World War.
Was it first?
Exactly.
Is it?
The best of the world wars.
The sequel was...
Correct. The sequel was, to be fair, let's not start talking about World War. I was joking when I said it was the best. I just meant it was the first. They called it the Great War, though.
They did.
Oh, what a great war. But it didn't...
It's like Good Friday.
It's like Great Britain. No, great means big. It doesn't mean good. You know, in that old-fashioned way, the Great War meant the big war, and Great Britain just means Big Britain compared to Little Britain, which is Brittany, isn't it?
Great Britain.
Because, you know...
Bretagne and Grande-Bretagne.
Yeah. Bretagne et Grande-Bretagne, which is a...
It's weird that it's weird that we say Brittany instead of Britain.
Yeah, so it's French, right?
No, but isn't Britain is without...
No.
Scotland.
No.
And it became Great Britain.
No. Britain is the landmass that includes England, Wales, and Scotland. But I think that it's called Great Britain. It was the French who called it Great.
Are you sure?
This is a speculation, but I think the
Great Britain's the name of the island.
Great Britain is the name of that island. Hold on, England, Wales, and Scotland. And what I was thinking, and Paul seems to think that this is true too. So it's two against one.
All right.
I don't know if the French came up with it, but
that maybe it's French because you've got Bretagne, which is what we call Brittany, which is a region of France, obviously, as you know, and then Grande-Bretagne, which is Big Brittany.
Mm.
So they have the two, the little one and the big one, and ours is big, and it just means geographically big.
You may be right, and that does sound plausible, but I thought, but I'm not saying I know, mm-hmm. I thought that there was the Romans called it Britain.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Britannia, or whatever, something similar to that. And it was up to Scotland, you know, up to Hadrian's Wall, up to the wall, and the barbarians were there. And then when Scotland became part of Britain, it became Great Britain, which now you know that includes England, Scotland, and Wales. And then that's why it's the United Kingdom of Great Britain. It becomes the United Kingdom when you join in Ireland. So that's how you know which it is. So Britain, then it became Great Britain.
I didn't realise there was a difference between Britain and Great Britain. For me, it was...
I'm searching for this on the internet, and I'm not coming up with conclusive ideas. The best thing I could find on that first page is from Quora.com.
Quora.
So it's almost like no one knows. So why is Great Britain called Great instead of Big Britain or Large Britain? No, that's not even the question. Oh,
I'm putting
on.
Britain versus Great Britain.
Why is Great Britain called Great Britain?
England is a country. Britain is an area that consists of...
According to answers.com, it doesn't say trueanswers.com or correctanswers.com. It's just answers.com. There are two possible answers. Britain is the largest of the two main islands of the British Isles, and Britain is made up of England, Scotland, and Wales. That doesn't make sense because it's not... Ireland is not also called Little Britain. Mm. Anyway, the other main island is the island of Ireland, made up of the Republic of... Yes?
Sounds like
a part of the United Kingdom, Great Britain. Some historians believe it was called Great Britain to distinguish it from Brittany in northwest France. Geographers may use Britain to describe the mainland and Great Britain to include the offshore islands. I think it's it's Brittany and Big Brittany.
I don't think there's a difference between Britain and Great Britain. I don't think Scotland.
When Scotland joined in.
No.
It's not political. It's geographical.
I'm going to search. Why do I feel
I just tried to type it in Britain versus Great Britain. Nothing came up. It's like, do you mean Great Britain versus UK? No, I mean Great Britain versus Britain.
Yeah. Great Britain and Britain are the same thing. But people think it's Great Britain, meaning isn't Britain great?
Yeah.
But it just means the big Britain compared to the smaller Britain, which is part of France. Well, listeners, it's been an interesting ride this episode as we've gone from one thing to another, harvesting organs, harvesting fruit and vegetables, talking about Amber's homicidal son.
Yeah. Failing citizenship
questions. Although
only me.
You were right about the age of, the voting age for women. That when women got the right to vote, it was just after the First World War, 1919, I think.
Yeah.
I thought you would have been right on that question.
No, I mean, I knew it was after the First World War, but I was like, I was just like, oh, wait, I couldn't have told you what date it was exactly. I didn't know. But the French was a lot later.
Yeah,
I think the French was after the Second World War.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
French was last week, wasn't it?
Right, I'm going to go. I'm going to go get this baby.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to leave on the citizenship.
I think we're done. I think we've reached the optimum level.
I cannot wait to see what the title of this episode is, Luke.
I've no idea what it's going to be.
You've got to come up with something good.
That just goes to show that we think that Luke's planning is already pretty ropey, but actually is probably saving us from absolute freefall.
What do you mean?
Well, when you come in normally, you kind of have an idea like, oh, we're going to do this. And even though we kind of go off the ropes, at least you go in with an idea.
Mm.
But when it's free fall, as today was, who knows?
Free fall sounds negative. Free chat with Amber and Paul. Free chat sounds like a mobile phone network, though, doesn't it? You know, are you paying too much for your mobile phone contract? Why not switch to free chat?
All right, end it.
Okay.
So Amber can leave.
All right then, Amber.
Thanks for the hospitality, Luke.
No worries. And welcome. Come back on the podcast anytime soon. You have an open invitation to talk about anything. All right. Bye.
See you later. Bye. 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 Bye.
That's a magic number.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is a journey into
the English language.
A journey into
the DNA of the English language.
Really?
The DNA of the English language. Now that's a really quite a strong claim.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Who are you?
You talking to me? You talking to me?
You know who I'm talking to. I'm a school teacher. I teach English composition.
Oh, really?
Yes! Oh, really? Yes!
He's an idiot.
You don't know what that is?
And I don't know what this is.
This is Luke's English podcast.
Can't touch this.
This is
a masterpiece of the English language.
All righty then.
Just think of the accolades it's received over the years.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
And I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Good.
Really?
Yes.
I want to get into it, man.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Luke's English podcast.
And this is Britain at its best.
You lucky people.
Well, there you have it. Amber and Paul reunited on the podcast once more. We'd been waiting for ages for that to happen. It's quite difficult to get the three of us together on a regular basis. And I hope that you were not disappointed after waiting. Some of you will have been waiting for the entire 12-month gap there. The last time they were on the podcast before this was the 4th of May 2020. And here we are again near the beginning of May. So just over a year. Just in case you were wondering what tangential means and you're not a long-term listener, a tangent, first of all, T-A-N-G-E-N-T, or a conversational tangent, is when someone starts talking about something that is unrelated from the main topic of conversation. So you kind of go off on, you kind of get sidetracked and talk about something else. To go off on a tangent is the phrase. And tangential is the adjective, and it refers to something different from the subject you were talking about. So this is typical of all my podcast conversations. We kind of go off on tangents quite a lot. It's quite tangential, but especially those ones with Amber and Paul. So we are known as the Tangential Trio. As ever, I am curious to know what you think about all of this. Sometimes our conversations become quite rude and inappropriate, you know, as we talk about certain subjects or certain kinds of rude language just come up. But I am just presenting you with a natural conversation between friends. And this sort of thing is normal when socializing in English with your friends. These are the sorts of things that come up. So here are some questions for your consideration. First of all, what do you think of Michael's organ harvesting story? Do you believe it? Is it possible? Secondly, what is your favorite fruit or vegetable? Thirdly, why do you think Great Britain is called Great Britain? And fourthly, that's not a word we use very often, is it? And in fourth place, fourth, did you hear about the Spanish fireman and his two sons? Let us know your thoughts and comments in the comments section. I've got a ton of episodes in the pipeline, which will be coming out over the next few weeks and months. Here's a little taster of things to come. We've got Baha from Iran, the final Whisperlet runner-up that I need to talk to. Then a couple of episodes about expanding your vocabulary using word quizzes and dictionaries with a returning guest. More episodes in the vague Beatles season, including some stuff about the psychology of John Lennon, adjectives for describing personality traits, and some analysis of Beatles song lyrics with a sort of expert guest. So that's coming. Four episodes, and a general one about John Lennon, two ones about adjectives of personality, and then one about Beatles song lyrics. Okay, then I've got various stories which I've been searching for and then reading out on the podcast with YouTube versions. This is because the recent Roald Dahl story I read out was quite a popular one. So I've been looking for other stories, just kind of like searching online for short stories and things. I also recently recorded a series in which I'm reading out extracts from one of my favorite books, and there are YouTube versions of that with text on the screen as well. They will be coming soon. Plus, more special guests for interviews and collaborations, more bits of comedy analyzed and broken down, and plenty of other things too. I'm still waiting for my shiny thing from YouTube for getting 100,000 subscribers, but when it arrives, I will be doing another YouTube live stream. Who knows, I might even do one before the shiny thing arrives, but I will let you know in any case if I plan to do a YouTube live stream. I should. And premium subscribers, actually, I should do live streams for the premium subscribers on a fairly regular basis. There's still lots of things in the premium section that I would like to do. You know, I'd like to expand it in various ways. So, you know, look out for those sorts of things. I might send you an email. If you're a premium subscriber, you might receive an email from me if I have sort of other things planned, like YouTube lives and stuff. In any case, premium subscribers, I have the rest of the What Did Rick Say series coming up, and then a similar series called What Did Jill Say, focusing on language from my recent conversation with my mum about the Beatles. Plenty of nice target language came up in that conversation, so I'm planning to do an episode all about it. And that is following a suggestion from a listener. So, new premium content is either being published, being written, or recorded all the time. So, watch out for new episodes. teacherluke.co.uk/premium info if you'd like to find out more. I will be back soon with more episodes, but now it's just time for me to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.